Welcome to the Lance Holt School Podcast, the history of our school. In this episode, we are introduced to a whole new wave of staff. Some of them are still teaching today. We also get to hear about new traditions like the West End Ride.
G'day. My name is Lance Holt. The overriding principle of everything is learning should be fun. And we're here to have fun.
My name's Ron Gorman. I was coordinator of Lance Holt School in the 90s. I was a teacher before I was coordinator, so I came in the 80s, and I was also a parent. Both of my boys, Patrick and Joey, were students at Lance Holt School. I wouldn't have them anywhere else. The summary story is that, you know, the experience of working at Lance Holt is it becomes your life in a really positive way. So, you know, it's certainly not a 9-to-5 sort of job. You know, it's a, I mean, I'd spend a lot of weekends just doing the paperwork so that I could make sure that during the week I could be teaching and, you know, being more so with the learning that the kids were engaging with.
There were lots of changes happening in the school. Can you tell me what happened when you became coordinator?
I adored working with Jim as coordinator, and that was really, really fantastic, and I learnt a lot, and, you know, Jim was a great mentor in that regard. But Jim was, you know, he had other things to do, so he left under very, very good circumstances. It also was at a time when there were differences of opinion and view from the parent body. So it was also a pretty tense time. So, you know, being in love with Lance Holt, I mean, I really wanted to run the school. So, you know, when Jim left, it was a pretty competitive process. I certainly put my application in, put my hand up. You know, the nuts and bolts was that there was a pretty rigorous interview process. And there were two factions. I wasn't part of any of them. My passion was young people learning, community schooling. I wish that there weren't two factions, but that was really, really awkward. People wanted a Lance Holt school that was probably more like a school that you could go to everywhere else. Now, I wasn't about Lance Holt has to be so radically different. You know, my proposition was about Lance Holt School being, you know, a place of learning, a place that was strong on relationships, a place that allowed, you know, young people to have a real voice. I took the school on when a lot of people left and took their kids.
But there was a crossroads or philosophical differences, and I took over when that happened. So the difficult time was then simply not being able to afford to run the school. So I remember the numbers, the school numbers. I think the school budget was running at 68 kids, and the numbers at the school when I took over as coordinator was 49. So the school was receiving most of its money from federal grants, some from state grants, as all schools do. And as I said, it was, you know, quite a low-fee school, so the federal money was quite important. But without the kids, of course, you didn't get the money. So I remember meeting with the council treasurer, Scruff, whose name is actually Scruff. It's also John McGregor. And he just said, "What do we do?" And I said, "Well, you know, we've got to keep going. You know, this school can't close. My kids are here." So, you know, he said, "Well, look, you know, we're losing a couple of thousand bucks a month, and, you know, at those numbers, it's not sustainable."
We were able to get the word out that, you know, Lance Holt was a pretty interesting place. And over a period of time, a long period of time, I might add, you know, we built the numbers to the point where the state funding, the federal funding was all paying off. Fees were still, you know, very cautiously low so that people could have access. And I think the magic number, the budget number, might have been 94. So that was the target. If we had 94 kids, that was great. If we had a few more kids, we'd buy more teachers. If we had a few less, we'd probably tighten our belts for a moment or two. But that's something I'm really proud of, is that we could have lost the school. We fought for it. And it's still there, so that's a great thing.
My oldest boy, Patrick, he came to school. I think he started school as Dorothy, and he was Dorothy for quite a number of months. In fact, I remember getting an invoice for Dorothy Gorman, and this was Dorothy, Wizard of Oz Dorothy, of course. You know, Patrick was very ill when he was young, and he watched so many episodes of The Wizard of Oz that he became Dorothy. I became Uncle Henry. I didn't know that until he dropped me off one day. Everyone knew Dorothy.
How did Catherine come to the school?
Catherine came just before Jim came. She was from South Australia. She'd worked in, I think, Indigenous communities. She was very strong in the literacy area, and was really, you know, quite passionate about getting a job at Lance Holt, and really did, you know, make sure that, you know, when she was certainly applying for the job, and this is the memory I have when, as I said, when Jim was there, you know, she really wanted it, and she wanted it for all the right reasons. So that was fantastic. So I worked with Catherine for, you have to ask her how many years, but certainly, you know, I was, she was there while I was coordinator for all that number of years, and you know, she stayed when I left, when I ran away to another circus, and you know, she was successful in, you know, gaining the role of coordinator after a little bit of a blip. It was fortuitous that, you know, Catherine had, you know, come to the school in the first instance, you know, worked really hard for the school in so many ways. She knows the school inside out, and, you know, she had carriage of, you know, making sure that Lance Holt is well and prosperous in its 50th year.
I'm Catherine Netherwood. I first started at the school in late 1988, and, of course, I must have been very young then. And I've had several roles at the school as teacher in different classes, and since 2000 as a school coordinator. I first saw a job advertised at Lance Holt School in the Western Australian employment section. And I thought, oh, what's that school about? And it said it was a community school in Fremantle, and I already knew about Fremantle and thought it would be a great place to live. So I thought, oh, I'll have to do a bit more investigation about that. And I wondered who Lance Holt was. And so I started doing a bit of research, which was harder in those days because we didn't have the internet. And I did find out that he was a pioneer of education in WA, and that he'd started a school in 1970. And it was a community school with a focus on the community. So I thought that really appealed to me, because I'd been teaching in small outback and remote communities, country towns. So I like the idea of working in a close-knit community setting. And I was lucky enough to get an interview. And before I got the interview, I came down to Fremantle to have a look through the front windows of the school. And I thought, oh, it looks really interesting. I did have the interview. But unfortunately, I didn't actually get the job. And then I kept continuing with some further study that I was doing at the university. And I ended up getting a job at a local childcare centre. And while I was working for there was a function on at the Portuguese Club and in Fremantle. And I went along to it. And who should be there but that parent that had been in that first interview? And she's talked to me. She goes, oh, I met you at the interview, blah, blah, blah. She goes, do you know there's another job going at the school? You should apply. And I went, oh, is there really? Yeah. And she said, oh, yeah, I think you're going to have to get your application in soon, because the closing date's the 21st of September. And I said, oh, okay. So I had a look and I thought, yeah, I'd give it a go. And I thought maybe I've got a chance because the 21st of September is my birthday, so maybe that's a good day to have. And, yeah, I applied for that job. And when I came in for the interview, there were six or seven people at the interview and I was kind of shocked. And before I went for the interview, I was going, oh, I wonder what I should wear, as you do, because I know it's a, you know, community school. But you're still going for a professional job. So I think I overdressed a bit for the for the interview. But there were so many people there, and I didn't realise it at the time, but there were so many people there because they had appointed someone and it hadn't worked out. And this was kind of 6 months later. And, you know, the parents were concerned about who was going to work with their children. So, so that was a bit daunting with that many people. And then... after the, yeah, Jim rang me later to say that they were going to offer me the job, and I just said, oh, I have to think about that and I'll ring you back. And he was kind of a bit shocked, I think, that I did that. And but that's kind of just, you know, I like to think on things a bit, so I think that's me. And, yeah, so I did ring him back and took the job, and I've been there for a long time.
What years did you teach? And was there a kindergarten?
My name is Sam Wynn and I was a teacher at Lance Holt School for over 20 years. I started there in 1992 and I finished there in 2017. Over those years I taught pre-primary year one. I started the kindergarten. I was the senior early childhood teacher and then the lead teacher at Lance Holt. So I was a fairly new graduate. I'd been out teaching for a year. I was ideal. I had very strong opinions and ideas about what education should look like for children. I was teaching in a state school in the northern suburbs, lovely kids, lovely families, but I was really disillusioned with the education that was on offer, the way the families were treated in the system, the way the whole system worked. And so I was looking for alternatives and I saw this tiny little ad in the West, in the education ads section for this little school called Lance Holt, which I hadn't heard of. So I decided to investigate and applied and never looked back.
When we had applications for positions, you know, I would, before we would go into interview, I would ask, you know, potential teachers to come down, have a look at the school. And I do remember one teacher whose application looked really good. We were going to interview. I remember walking downstairs with her, then walking upstairs. And by the time I turned around, she had decided to go. It was too much for her. She didn't get what was going on. And there was nothing untoward going on. I mean, you know, kids were doing, you know, kid things at Lance Holt School. So, you know, part of the interview process was to come down, actually interact with kids. You know, can you build those relationships? And is there a look of shock horror on your face when they come up and call you by your first name, or is there a concern that there is no uniform shop somewhere in the school? Or
were the kids ever part of the decision-making process?
So Ron interviewed me. I was interviewed by a very large panel of Ron, a couple of other staff members, and then four parents. So it was incredibly intimidating walking in to eight people sitting around the kitchen table at the school as a young teacher. They were all very friendly and smiled a lot at me during the interview, but I really had no idea of how the interview went. And I got home and I got a phone call to say, would you come back in on Monday? Ron wants you to come and spend some time in his class. And what I didn't realise at the time, of course, is that was my second interview to see how the kids liked me. So I spent the day in Ron's class in year 4-5. And apparently I passed that test because they offered me the job after that. But Ron was the coordinator and he has continued to be my role model and my mentor for all of the years since.
Some of the interview may very well have been sitting on the carpet in the year 4-5 classroom where I was explaining, you know, the philosophical underpinnings of the school and, you know, please make sure that, you know, you're ready for the ride, because, you know, working at Lance Holt is a great joy, but it's also, you know, you've got to work hard because of your commitment to, you know, individuals and individual programming and all sorts of things. And, you know, we went through the interview process, you know, we sort of had the informal chat as my kids were doing silent reading. I think that was, so, okay, kids, off you pop, silent reading. I've just got to talk to Sam about a couple of things. So there we were sitting. Of course, all of the kids were listening intently. And, you know, I farewelled Sam, and the kids in the class just said, nah, she's got to teach here. So so I think, you know, the interview was I thought it was for me, but no, the kids gave the thumbs up. So Sam joined us, and that was great, because Sam brought, you know, a lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm, you know, great professional expertise. And she maintained that, you know, she maintained her professional status by, you know, really understanding and researching and enacting, you know, good early childhood pedagogy in a Lance Holt way, if I can put it that way. So Sam joined us. That is a great asset for the school.
Hi, I'm Seth Yeoman. I'm the Year 5-6 teacher at Lance Holt School. And, hey, it's my 25th year this year. 95 I started, so here I am. The situation I was in, I went back to uni as a mature age student. And I was, I think, 27 when I finished uni. And in third year of uni, I became a dad for the first time. And it was a bit of a surprise, a pleasant surprise, but it made not going country impossible. You couldn't go country because I had a kid and my wife was running a business. So that limited my options. And I thought, well, you know, I did relief for about three terms. And I had heard about Lance Holt School. When I was at uni, I always used to, I was very interested in alternative forms of education because especially in the third year when I had a kid coming along, I thought, well, you know, there's church schools or there's government, I could go country, or there, hopefully there's something in between. I mean, church schools weren't really my scene, and I thought that hopefully there's something in between. I had a couple of friends that actually went to Lance Holt School back in the 70s, a guy called Richard Rowell. He was late 70s, early 80s, I think, and I was a big Jam Tarts fan. I knew the Jam Tarts and the Gares were all ex-Lance Holt kids, and I thought, well, they look pretty cool. I reckon the school must be pretty good. And when I was at uni, I actually asked one of my lecturers, are there anything other than, you know, government schools or church schools? And he said, yeah, oh, yeah, there's the Lance Holt School down in Fremantle. And I went, oh, yeah, I think I vaguely remember hearing something about that. Plug went there, and I know the Gare family went there. So I was, yeah, the job came up in term 4, 95, and the teacher prior to me had left in third term, didn't give him much notice. And basically the job came up in the paper. I'd be flicking through the paper every Saturday, and I saw Lance Holt School teacher, year 6-7 for one term. And I went, yeah, great, I'll give it a go. So I applied for the job, got an interview, and my wife, I can still remember the day so clearly. And the weird thing was, as I was walking out the house, little Jessica was only about a year old. I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if I got this job? And I remember seeing, this is weird, I saw a butterfly stuck in a spider web, and I pulled the butterfly out and let it go. And I don't know whether that was good luck or a blessing or something. Went to the first interview and I had a tie on, right? And it was probably the last time I've ever worn a tie. It was a Sunday morning. My wife dropped me off in Henry Street. And I looked around and went, oh, cool, West End of Fremantle. I walked in and the people interviewing me were all in like cheesecloth shirts and thongs. And I went, there's me walking in with this tie and a jacket. And I went, oh, it is that sort of school. Great, but look at me. I've got this tie on. So I sat down and they were very friendly, the interviewing staff, parents, coordinators, teachers. And, yeah, shook hands. And about a week later I got another interview. And this time I wore my cheesecloth shirt and a pair of jeans. I think that was probably the last time I wore a tie for about 20 years. So, yeah, it was a nice fit.
Seth applied. He was successful and he got kids really, really well. So, I mean, both my boys were taught by Seth and they've got very, very fond memories of that. You know, when a parent sends their child to school, they send the very best that they've got. They are very, very special parcels of people that, you know, we need to, you know, care for a lot in so many different ways. And Seth brought that sort of relational dynamic into the school beautifully. So, nice times, nice memories of working with Seth.
I'm Patrick Gorman. I first probably went into Lance Holt School when I was about 3 days old. I was basically born into the school in 1984. My dad was a new teacher there at that time, Ron. I think he missed the first school graduation because he thought that I was about to come into the world. And so I spent a number of years not as a student, but as a very regular 2 or 3 year old wandering around the school, as I was lucky enough to do. And then I was a student there until 1997. Obviously, Seth was my year 6-7 teacher and was very encouraging of me and my aspirations at that time to go and be a pilot. And I've probably disappointed him by not fulfilling that. But Seth was great. The things that stick in my memory is just the physical structure of the school, that it was, you can't separate the style of teaching from and the approach of how children were valued from the fact that you're in this Federation building that was, you know, had a dungeon and it had, you know, a roof that back when I was there you were able to climb on. It was somewhere that you could sort of continue to explore and your imagination could run wild about what used to happen in that building. But also it was this idea that if you can run a school in a building that was never built to be a school, then it kind of continues the idea that kids can do anything, that they can have, you know, big ideas and do things differently to how they've ever been done before. I loved morning meeting, just basically this idea that you'd get the entire school community together, and that would often not just be obviously the students, but parents and anyone else who happened to be around. Letting the kids chair the meeting, I think, is just one of the most lovely things that Lance Holt valued children from the very start of each school day, that the kids were part of running the school as opposed to just there to be taught.
Hello, I'm Eva Sharp Finlayson. I went to Lance Holt School in the mid-90s, studying pre-primary through to year 7. Sam was a huge part of being a little kid. I remember everyone was like, she's so beautiful, and it was really exciting to go to school and see her. I don't know her last name. Classic Lance Holt. I wouldn't have a clue what teachers' last names are. I'd be like, Seth, Wendy, Christine, but I wouldn't know their last names.
What was the school like in the 90s?
I took my class out to the library, and when I first started working at the school, we had a tattoo shop and a sex shop on the same street. And one of my most amusing experiences was walking past the sex shop with all of these little children and watching people come out with their brown paper bags, incredibly embarrassed because there's a school teacher and all of her children standing out front of the sex shop. So we had many moments like that being in the West End that were amusing and funny.
One of the games we used to like to play, or one of the things we used to do when we were wandering to get lunch or whatever, was there was some a couple of adult shops that were just around the corner from the school that, you know, sold stuff. And one of the games we used to love to play was we would run in, yell, hello, and then run off again. And obviously we'd been doing this a little bit too much. So one morning we had to have a meeting that one of the teachers had to sort of raise this and sort of say, look, you've just got to understand, you can't just, I can imagine them thinking, how do you tell kids you can't run into a shop and just say hello? We knew it was naughty, but it had obviously really gotten to the business owners and really frustrated them. I can imagine them sort of having to pop into the school, have a chat to, it was probably a chat to my dad when he was coordinator, and say, look, can you just stop, you know, this stream of students at every lunchtime running in? And, you know, obviously it was scaring away the customers. And then the poor teacher having to actually raise this at meeting. At the time I was there, like, the West End of Fremantle was a colourful place. You know, the workers' club across the road was probably the least of the problems, because at least, you know, you knew most of the drunks and they had good relationships with most of the teachers. But you had skimpy bars all over the place. You had people coming in off ships, having a good time, not a long time, And you had, yeah, a bunch of, you know, really interesting shops around. So, yeah, I do remember we got told off for that probably more than once.
Yeah, but meeting was great. It was sometimes really sad stuff. Often it was like, my mum gave me a hat, or I would be told to be quiet so much. I just wouldn't shut up. Okay, Eva, that's enough. That's enough. Okay, you find something. Like, oh, I've got more to say. It was so much fun. It was, I wish that they had meeting in high school and at businesses and things like that. A little breakdown of what's been going on and things like that.
Hi, I'm Nathan Bridger, and I was at Lance Holt Primary School from 1991 to 1998.
How is the Lance Holt School different to other schools?
It's funny, you know, the school, when people ask about it, because they're always like, isn't that sort of different alternative school? And I'm like, yep, that's exactly what it is. And I think it's alternative in the best kind of way, that's an alternative to being just the same as everybody else in common. So it really allowed each student to sort of be or excel in their own different ways. So, you know, I often laugh with people that I hadn't referred to an adult by their surname until I went to high school, because everyone was on first name basis. I was laughing with a patient of mine the other day how, you know, when I was there, the world was a bit of a simpler place, and with a simple note from our parents, we could walk, you know, two kids that are about 10, 12 years of age into Fremantle to grab lunch, and it was never considered an issue. That, you know, we did surfing lessons as a unit. We had whole school camps at Rottnest. If it's still there, I happen to admit I haven't been back in a few years. I was part of the group that did the graffiti design on the new quad. And I say new quad, that must have been 20 years ago now. But, you know, we did all these amazing different things that sort of allowed you to experience and excel at things that probably more standard education system wouldn't have. I couldn't confirm or deny such an accusation of Seth's long-winded stories, but I do remember his, you know, graduation for the year groups, his gifts and his long... he was definitely still telling long stories.
My dad was a natural storyteller, and, you know, he used to hold me captivated with the stories of growing up in London during the war and, you know, his adventures in Germany after the war and that sort of thing, and working in a factory. And I think his storytelling ability was passed on to me. It was either genetics or whatever. But sometimes a kid will say something. It's usually on a Friday morning. It's a nice, you know, you're into the run of the weekend almost. And one of the kids will say something, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid. And I said, well, hang on, let me tell you a story. And then they just, they put their pencils down, and they go, oh, great, history lesson.
I think there's a misconception about what learning is for a lot of people. For a lot of people, they think that learning is what happens when we sit at a desk with a book in front of us. For children, particularly young children, learning is happening every moment of their day. It's happening in a relational way. It's happening in a conflict resolution way, it's happening in a discovery learning way, it's happening through all of the things they do, through their play. So Lance Holt is a school that has always honoured learning in a much broader sense than what is often traditionally viewed as learning in an academic sense. So, you know, one of the things we've always prided ourselves on as a school is that we invest as much in our children's social emotional learning as we do in their academic learning, and that it's not enough to be a clever person and a smart person and an achieved person. We need to be a person that gets along with other people, a person who can solve problems, a person who can negotiate, a person who can say, oh, look, here's a problem, how am I going to solve that? So it's the school views learning in much bigger and broader ways. And ironically, of course, this is what we talk about now in the education scene, what we call the 21st century learning skills, or the soft skills, or the capabilities. They're all of those skills that we now know we need to be successful human beings, not just successful academic students.
The system in Lance Holt was very different to any other school, right? You know, I can remember in high school we got things like scab duty, where you got little, like, pick a forks, and you had to pick up rubbish, and you had detentions and things like that. You know, I think from memory and in my feeling around it, that Lance Holt was always trying to deal with any issue in a really sort of positive way. So we had the kitchen, obviously, where you went and sat in the kitchen, which was your own detention. But in its own way, it was more just hanging around with adults and feeling, getting that idea of respect and sort of bringing that back in. I can remember us getting in trouble as glorious year sevens because we threw an empty bottle out a window and didn't know which window it was, and unfortunately it fell two stories and hit one of the kindy kids in the head, which was, yeah, not good, and we got a lot of trouble for that. There was a lot of fingers being pointed, but fair enough so. But I just think it's, you know, everything from my memory of Lance Holt, when, you know, when one of us acted out or when another child acted out, it was always about finding out why and how we can help it rather than just sort of chastising someone.
And I remember Ron always was nice to the naughty boys, which was kind of nice because I felt like, I think we all knew that those kids maybe needed a bit more attention.
Look, I remember when, you know, kids goofed up seriously and I'd say to them, look, you know, we're going to have to come to some arrangement about how we're going to deal with that. How do you want to do that? You know, do you want me to talk to your parents? Do you want to talk to your parents? You know, should we go to the person who might be a little bit aggrieved and negotiate something? I'll give you a bit of time to think about that. Come back and we'll sort that out. I just think that's respectful. I remember a couple of kids having to, I won't tell you what they did. It was pretty minor. The negotiated thing was, look, I'll talk to your parents. We'll go around to the shop. They ended up doing that. They vacuumed the shop for 2 weeks just to make up for something that they shouldn't have done, and, you know, and it was fine. And no one batted an eyelid. There was no good or bad about that. That there was a way of making good was a good thing, you know, without there being, you know, you've done something bad, you're a bad person sort of thing. I mean, that doesn't take anyone to a good space at all. You know, you need to go, you know, life is complex and stuff happens, so let's deal with that.
The great question was always that sometimes you do something very wrong, you might have to sit in the kitchen for a while. But also if you were sick, you had to sit in the kitchen for a while. So whenever you would see a kid, a fellow student sitting, you know, in one of the big armchairs, you had to sort of wonder, what have they done? Or are they about to spew?
I think the kitchen is so iconically Lance Holt. People find it really hard to think that we don't have a staff room, that there's not a space that the teachers go to hide from the children during morning tea and lunchtime. I love the fact that I could be sitting there eating my lunch and one of the kids would wander in for a chat, or if they had a problem, come and get help solving that problem. It felt like a home because we had a kitchen, and that kitchen was where tuck shops made. It's where, you know, we do cooking, all of those things happen. So I think that's probably my favourite space as opposed to my classroom space.
I think also just thinking the teachers sitting around in the kitchen at lunchtime, being very accessible, not having a school bell, the kids yelling that it would be time, it's class time. All of those things that kind of are unique to Lance Holt and all compound to just, you know, I loved every minute I was there.
Well, everyone that I can remember was always ready and amped up to go to Albany. Albany was the big one. Every second year when you're in year 6 and 7, you got to go to Albany. And I think the large part of that was because we got to go go-karting. And so everybody, you know, when you're a kid driving around in a petrol-driven go-kart at high speed is always going to be the best and most amazing thing. So at year 6, 7 was all that was the excitement, right? It was always like, all right, when's it coming up? When's this happening? Is it this year or is it next year? When do we get to go? And just getting amped up for that big camp. And it shouldn't take away from, you know, it was still a educational experience. We got to go to the Whaling Museum. We did all these things. But the highlight was definitely the go-karts.
You know, yeah, I loved camp. So you'd always get excited about the big school camp with everyone each year. And then the class camps were fantastic. Like, highlights were always Rottnest. And then the anticipation to Albany in year 7 was really great.
What camps did you have? And what traditions? Do you remember?
There are a lot of traditions that we have established at the school over time. And sometimes we start a new tradition, we don't even realise it till a couple of years down the track.
The first whole school West End camp I went on was in 1996, and we're at Fays Bay. And it was pretty loose in those days. We didn't have, you know, strict programs that we did every day like we do now. We have like a timetable and everyone's got to be somewhere at the same different times and doing different activities. On this particular day, I had this group of year 6, 7s who just liked, you know, lazing around, hanging out in each other's houses, and I just thought, it was a Thursday towards the end of the camp. I said, right, I'm going to ride to the West End. Who wants to come with me? And about six kids put their hand, I suppose. And I think it was Christine or maybe some of the other teachers. They said, no, go on, get them all to go. And I said, well, they don't want to, And they said, well, how about if I give you all a Mars bar? And it was like a Nuremberg rally. All the hands went up. Oh, yeah, I'll come. So, yeah, we all went out to the West End, and I kind of, since then, it's been like a thing we do on the Thursday. We go to the West End, we ride to the West End, and we ride back, and it's a 22K ride, and, you know, they get a certificate as well. They never used to get a certificate. It was just with the Mars bar. But I thought, well, they need something other than a Mars bar, so they'll get a certificate as well. And they really value that, you know, they really do.
The debrief at the night, the celebration with all the Mars bars, the little awards for the trip, which I think was, again, that's the fun part of it, all right? Like, there's everything, you know, doing the, or experiencing it's one thing, but I think the real learning a lot of the time came from the debrief. And even that trip in itself and a lot of the other things we did at Lanzholt was always that little bit of debrief at the end, which gets you, just helps you to experience things more. And at the same time, you got to hear other people's stories and how they experienced it, which I think really set a lot of us, this is off topic, but it set a lot of people up moving on to help better understand what other people were going through, which I think that's something that we are vastly lacking in society in a lot of ways.
At Rottnest Camp, it was another stormy night. We decided to have a story time, and I opened it up. So I said anyone could come to the story time in my house. And I was reading The Lorax, Dr. Seuss, The Lorax. And I think I looked up at one stage and I must have had about 70 or 80 children and parents crammed into this tiny little cottage at Rottnest, all captivated by listening to The Lorax. It was a really beautiful moment.
As a kid, I grew up, I went to Scouts for a couple of years, and we had this really young Scout leader, and he was in the Navy, and he just took us on these camps, and he was pretty strict, but he was, you know, liked having fun, and he used to give us camp awards, and we used to really value those awards. They were written on pieces of material, the silly things that happen on camps. And when I started here, I thought, you know, I valued that so much. And I just thought, well, why don't I do that? And I started giving the kids camp awards, and it's something that they really look forward to. Just silly things that happen on camp. And it gives the kids a sense of identity. This is me. I'm the kid that got the hot seat award for answering the most questions. I'm the kid that got the blowfly award for bouncing off a window. I'm the kid that got the Tarzan award for, you know, swinging on the ropes all the time. And, you know, little things like that. And they really value those. And I've kept that tradition going as well.
How did you celebrate graduation?
Oh my God, dancing at the end was the best, and Spice Girls were huge. So yeah, it would have been late 90s, and they did a Spice Girls performance. And at the end of all the performances, which were at the Town Hall, and they were so good, there was the big dance off, and we'd just dance and dance. And my godson's now at Lance Holt, and Jasper, hi Jasper. And he says it's now John Curtin, and I'm excited to go to his graduation this year. That'd be so fun.
The actual nights themselves were fantastic, and it was always great. Like, the whole families are there, the parents are there, everyone's always having fun. Halftime, you used to get excited to help out and, like, serve people, like, sodas and stuff like that. Yeah, everyone was a big part of it. And we had, like, I think there was a number of events there, not even the graduation. I remember we used to do it was yearly art exhibits where you do your little pieces and people could actually buy the art, and I think Mum still got some of it on her wall at home, that I drew some kind of spaceship in 91, entitled The Spaceship, because I was very original as a child. But it was a lot of fun, and it's almost sad to not see that space, what it was, because it was such a beautiful space, and we had a lot of times there with, you know, performances, with graduations, with the art exhibits, and being able to just sort of go out and play on the big old chess boards under the big trees. It was really beautiful memories down there.
Now, as I'm getting a little bit older, I've got an iPad. It's usually Friday nights when I'm sitting at home. I'll be sitting there thinking about stuff, and I'll think, oh, such and such said something really funny this week, or they did something funny on camp or a few weeks ago on the playground. So I quickly type it down. I've got all the kids' names listed on my iPad, and I just make little notes, and then I turn that into a story, and when I write their speeches. There's one kid in particular, he knows exactly what I'm going to say about him because it's the first time we met when he was 2 years old at Rottnest, and it was a rather special occasion. But I, even when it happened 10 years ago, I said, this is coming up in this kid's speech, you know. So you were hearing it at graduation. There's other kids who I've known since they were born. There's two kids in the class currently. You know, I can remember the time they were born. And I think that's just so special, you know, so special. You've watched that kid's journey, not just growing up, you know, physically growing up, but actually social, emotionally growing up and intellectually growing up and seeing them, that little person, a baby crawling around and shouting out in meeting to that kid that's graduating on stage. And you said you tear up. I tell you what, I've come close a few times on stage. I mean, even now I'm sort of getting a little bit emotional about some of the things I write and remember about the kids. And that really does make the school special for me, and I think for everyone as well, which, you know, it's a special place to be. Yeah, it really is. At the end of the year, we get the graduating class to sign their names on a piece of wood. One of the other staff members years ago suggested we do something like that. Basically what it was, you know, so that they can be remembered at the school in some way. I know that a lot of schools, the head boy and the head girl get their name up on a plaque or whatever, and, you know, the faction captains and all that. But what about all the other kids? You know, they miss out. So we came up with the idea, well, why don't we get a piece of wood? And I don't know if it was as rustic as my idea, but but we thought, why don't we put all the kids' names on? So the last week of school, I get this piece of pine that's, you know, it's certain dimensions, and I measure it up and count how many kids are graduating, and we draw a line there, and they get to write their name in, and I burn it in with a soldering iron. And there's about 20, 25 or 26 boards up there now, and every kid who's left the school has got their name up there. And I still get kids coming in now who are adults, and they come into the room, hi, Seth, how are you going? Oh, hi. And they go straight to the board saying, oh, there's my name up there. And, you know, it's really nice. It makes them feel special. And I think a lot of the traditions that we do have at the school are aimed to make the kids feel special and be valued for who they are. And, yeah, I think it's really nice too. I think back to when I was a kid, it would have been really nice if that happened to me. So I thought, well, you know, it's an important part of your life, and yeah, that's kind of what I've done. So it kept it going.
From memory, again, memory could be mistaken, that all started from Seth backing over that wooden pylon in the bus with all of us on an excursion, and it got stuck in the undercarriage of the school bus, and he dragged it back. And when he got it out, it was this big, long piece of wood. And he thought, well, might as well make... I think we all made a lot of fun of him for it, for running over this thing in the school bus, as a bunch of kids would do. And he ended up turning it into something that was like a graduation thing each year where the kids would sign it and he would get it like properly burnt in and, you know, when it hung on the wall. So I think we were group two. But that original plank was something he backed the bus over.
I decided that it was actually time for me to go, not for any other reason than I was really, really happy with where the school was. I remember when I announced it at staff meeting, it was a difficult announcement. There were tears and people got cross as a reaction, not in a bad or negative way, but, you know, why would you want to go? Well, I've pushed really, really, really hard, and I'm happy about that. And it wasn't that I wasn't prepared to push, you know, further. I just thought, timing, this is good. You know, I've been there 16 years. Joey was still at school. He was cross that I went. I'm pretty sure he was in year six when I finished. So, you know, I kept in contact with the school and contributed in certain ways.
Everyone needs a mentor in whatever profession we're in, but I think it's particularly important in education because you learn on the job. Although you have a four-year degree, the actual learning of the relationships and the connections and the dealing with families and dealing with individual children and creating a culture within your classroom, you really do need someone to mentor you through that space. Ron was a fantastic mentor for me during those early years.
You know, it spins me out to think that almost half my life has been spent at the school, and seeing kids, you know, thinking back, the first kids I taught are now 37, and, you know, it just spins me out. And seeing kids around Fremantle who are now adults, I thought, gee, I taught them and they've got kids. And, you know, it's kind of really special. You're part of their life and you look back and there's been just so many memories and the like. And
so it makes me believe in my parents because they chose to send me there and it, you know, said a guidepost for them as good people. I really love mum and dad. And I have friends from there still. The small community thing of it was really, really nice. You get to know people. It was so nice being in a school of 90 kids and I knew everyone's face and name. Like, that was really nice.
Yes, I know we were being graded and all these things, but you weren't kind of aware of it. Your parents definitely were, and they knew where you were along and everything was fine, but everything was more than just, here's a book, go learn it, or, you know, that classic sort of just follow along. It was all about trying to see, do, feel, you know, really get an idea.
Kind of for me, in this 50th year, there's a lot of reflecting on the importance of the school for children in particular, but also for families. So I have a passion for keeping the school going, and that's why I've been the coordinator for so long and why I've been at the school for a while, quite a long time, is because I really wanted that education. When I first came to the school, I didn't have children, but I really liked the close-knit nature of the school. And once I had my own children, of course, I wanted them to have the experience of being at the school. So that was really a driver for me to be at the school and make sure it had sustainability and a long life so my children could get their whole education in primary years there. And since then, I've really wanted to offer that for other children. So I think it's really important that we build a school that's ongoing and sustainable, so not just the children now, but the children in the future have an opportunity to come to a school like ours. And I think this gets reinforced when you meet people that have been at the school in the past and they say, it was really important to me, that school, or that school helped me get through this, or that school helped me with my learning difficulty, or they made me feel welcome and nurtured. So I want that for other students into the future.
Good times, great memories. Some to share, some not to share. The long nights out we won't share. Staff dinners that may have gone on until the next morning, but that was the staff that we were. We were pretty close.
I just love coming down to Fremantle every day and catch the train from where I live and, you know, seeing the kids. And I think, oh, great, now I've got this lesson today. I'm looking forward to this lesson. And, you know, and really it's, I think, because a lot of us have been here for so long that, you know, that just stands to show that it is a special place. We all really love being here. And I talk to my friends about working at Lance Holt School and, you know, they just say, wow, man, you really enjoy it there, don't you? And I say, yeah. I mean, not every day is perfect, but, you know, it is good. It's great.
The overriding principle of everything is learning should be fun. And we're here to have fun.
Thank you for listening, and make sure you listen to the next episode where you'll hear all about the 2000s.
This has been a Temperley production.